Every one of us have a story to tell. All of us have so much to be thankful for. When we look back over our lives and we look back in the past, all of us should be able to identify the good hand of God that brought us from one good degree of grace to another. He didn't do it because we deserved it. He didn't do it because we were good people. He did it because he loved us. And he's a good God. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and open with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Well-known passage and story in the Bible. We've heard this ever since our Sunday school days. But I believe there's a great spiritual lesson that we need to be reminded of. And for some of us, we need to be reminded. For others, we just simply need to learn it. Because, folks, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Make no bones about it. We are in a spiritual battle. And there are giants in the land. Amen. Now, I want to talk to us this morning, this afternoon, about facing the giants. Amen. I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's approximately 125 pounds. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs. And a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. Thank you. You may be seated. Facing the giants. Folks, I want to tell you, we live in giant country. We live in a world that is full of spiritual giants. And as long as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this wicked and fallen world, one of the things that we will have to do, we will have to deal with the giants. This world is full of them. You can't always see them with the natural eye, but the effects of them is all around us. Now, what is a spiritual giant? Well, it's anything that seeks to control, dominate, and to destroy your life and your soul. I want you to get that down deep. It's anything, listen, it's anything that fights against you to keep you out of the will of God and away from the blessings of God. They can show up at any time. And they can come in different forms. For instance, sometimes they come in the form of family problems. Problems that are big. Problems that have the potential to destroy the very family that you love. They come in the form of family problems. And for some here tonight, maybe you're thinking, if I could just get my family right, if this problem would just go away, if I could just get some solutions to this marriage problem or to this child problem, then I could sleep at night. Then I could get my joy back. Sometime spiritual giants come in the form of family problems. Sometime they come in the form of sickness and failing health. You go to the doctor hoping to find a solution to this illness that you got. You tell yourself that if I could just get over this thing, if my blood pressure would just get right, if my diabetes could be under control, if I could overcome this illness or this sickness, then my life would be better. I would be more productive for the Lord. Sometimes they come in the form of family problems. Sometimes they come in the form of sickness and failing health and declining health. But then listen, sometimes the spiritual giants come in the form of a struggle with temptation and sin. Sometimes it's a lust problem. So listen, sometimes it's a struggle with greed. Sometimes it's a lying problem. Sometimes it's you struggle with bitterness and unforgiveness. There are spiritual giants in this world. And sooner or later, you're going to find yourself face to face with your own personal devil-designed giant. Amen. Now listen. How you deal with the giant will make all of the difference in the world. Before I tell you how to whoop the giant, how to face the giant, let me tell you what you can't do with the giant. Because the reason why some of us are losing battles that we ought to win and we're running from stuff that we ought to defeat is because we're not dealing with it in the right way. Four things I want to just share with you real quick that as I thought about this message this afternoon, the Lord just dropped in my spirit. Listen, here's what you must not do when it comes to your giant. Number one, you must not ignore or underestimate the giant in your life. Do you hear me? You must not ignore it, and you better not underestimate the potential of the destructive power of the giant that's in your life. Now, all of us got them. I mean, you can sit there like you fooling somebody, but you're not fooling me. I know all of us got some giants that we're trying to deal with. But if you ignore the giant, if you underestimate the potential destruction that the giant can bring in your life, you're already on the losing end of this thing. For some of us, listen, for some of us, we got some temptations. We got some secret sins. We got some hidden agendas and hidden stuff tucked away that can't nobody else see. And we think that just by ignoring it or underestimating it, everything is all right. But I'm telling you tonight, listen to me. whatever giant you're facing, whether it's a bad attitude, whether it's a disease, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a sin, whatever it is, if you ignore it, if you underestimate it, you're playing right into his hands.
Amen.
You can't underestimate when your marriage is going bad.
Amen.
You, listen, you can't ignore when it looked like she ain't never happy. Listen, you better not ignore when he rather stay at work than to come home. Hey, come on, somebody. Listen, you can't underestimate when your children have begun to drink and to use alcohol. Listen, don't underestimate the damage that your little pet sin is doing in your life and in the life of the people that you love. You got to listen to me. You can't ignore it. And here's what I thought about this afternoon as I studied. I believe the devil got two kinds of giants. I believe he got personal giants that he sent personally for you. But then I believe he's got corporate giants that he send for a group of folks. See, sometimes you're the only somebody in the church that's got a giant in your life at that moment. But then there are other times when a giant will step in the front door and the whole church, the whole congregation is affected by it. Number one, listen, number one, you cannot ignore or underestimate the giant that you're facing. You can't ignore it. Listen, you can't pretend like it's not a real problem.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You can't go to your nothing box and believe that nothing is going to happen because you do nothing. I'm telling you, now listen to me. I'm telling you, listen, you can't ignore this thing. When a church got problems, sweeping it under the rug, all it does is make the rug bigger. When a family got problems and they don't sit down and talk about it and work that thing out, all it does is makes it worse. Let me tell you what Israel and David couldn't do. They couldn't ignore Goliath because he was 9 foot tall. He was dressed in silver, bronze, and metal. You had to see him. You had to see him. Here's the second thing that you can't do. You must not underestimate the seriousness of the battle that he brings. I want you to look with me in verse 9. Look at verse 9. The background to this story is that Israel and the Philistines are in a battle. That there's a war. One army on one side of the mountain, the other army is on the other side. And there's a valley between them. And one day, listen, Out of nowhere, the Philistines introduce a champion. His name is Goliath. Listen, the Bible tells us that he was a big man. He was an intimidating man. He was a man who had a big mouth and probably bad breath. And listen, in verse 9, I want you to see this. Listen, in verse 9, he says, "If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants." Now watch this. "But if I prevail against him," in other words, if I kill him, one of us is going to die. If he kills me, we'll serve y'all. But if I kill him, and I'm pretty confident that I'm going to kill him, then y'all going to serve us. Look. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. Now, folks, listen to me. Number one, you can't ignore and you can't underestimate the giants that's in your life. Listen, but here's the second thing. You must not underestimate the seriousness of the battle that he's bringing. Listen, here's what Goliath is saying. Goliath is saying, if I fight this man and I win, y'all are going to serve us. You guys are going to become slaves for us. Listen, and a lot of times the reason why we don't fight no harder than what we fight for our families and for our churches is because we don't understand that when we don't fight and when we don't do battle and when we don't defend what God has given us, every time we give in to it, something is taken. Something becomes a slave to the devil. This is a serious battle. And listen, folks, listen to me. The battle that you're in, whether it's a battle for your purity, whether it's a battle for your family, whether it's a battle for your church, I'm telling you, there are serious consequences for not fighting. Listen. Spiritually speaking, I'd rather go down in blood than to surrender. You got to believe that there are still some things in your life that's worth fighting for. It's a serious battle. When parents don't fight for children, what you are saying to the devil is, you can have my child. When you don't fight for your marriage, what you're saying to the devil is, you can have my marriage. Yeah. When you don't fight for your church, when you just throw in the towel and walk away, I'm telling you, what you're saying to the devil is that what's happening at Solid Rock ain't important enough for me to invest no time. Yeah. You're doing all right, Anthony. It's serious. Listen to me. William is serious. Listen, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Every time he show up, you can already know his agenda. Number one, you must not ignore or underestimate. Number two, you must not underestimate the seriousness of the battle. Let me ask you a question tonight, and you be honest. Are you really engaged in this spiritual battle that the church is in? Listen, are you a warrior or are you a watcher? I mean, are you fighting for your family? Have you showed up on the battlefield and got in the trenches with the soldiers, with the army of God? Some of us are just happy having a uniform but never getting in the battle. Amen. It's a serious battle. That's what I come to tell you tonight. Listen, every time you or me give in to the temptations of the flesh, we lose something. Do you hear me? Listen, every time you go in the closet and hook up to pornography as a man of God, you lose something. Listen, girls, every time you get on the phone and you gossip and you slander and you run down other sisters in the church, you think you're doing something. You are. You're losing something. It's serious. Listen, it's serious. It's a serious battle that we're in. The reason why we can't get people to be more committed because they just don't know how, listen, they don't know the consequences of losing. Right. Amen. Goliath says, if he kills me, we'll serve y'all, but if I kill him, I want y'all to serve us. Now here's the third thing, as we run to a close tonight, listen. You must not expect the giant to just go away. Whatever you're dealing with, Jonathan, listen, and I got my giants too, so I'm talking to Anthony, just like I'm talking to the rest of y'all, listen. Whatever giant that has walked into your life, you cannot expect him to just feel sorry for you and go away. Because he's not going to do it. Whatever habit that is controlling your life, whatever sin that's dominating your life, listen, whatever thing that has come upon your wife and your children and your family, listen to me, is not just going to feel sorry for you and say, I think I'll go on. I want you to look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days. You think about this. 40 days, morning and evening. I bet he showed up right at breakfast and right at supper time. Just about time you're getting ready to eat your Cheerios, there he is. Morning and evening, listen to me, morning and evening for 40 days, he shows up. He shows up. I can't speak for y'all, but there are some giants in my life that shows up every morning when I wake up. For some of us, it's the giant of worry and fear. Amen. Listen. Not only does it show up in the morning when I wake up, but it tries to talk to me last thing at night when I lay down.
Amen.
40 days, think about that. 40 days, Israel had to look at this earthly thing. They had to listen to the taunting. The threats, the intimidating voice of Goliath. You know how it is when a giant shows up. He tells you stuff like, I'm here and there's nothing you can do about it. He tells you stuff like, listen, it's going to be like this for the rest of your life. Every time you scramble your eggs, you might as well scramble me some because I'll be there. He tells you it ain't going to never get better, don't he? He tells you you can't ever overcome this addiction. You can't ever overcome this habit. Your marriage won't never get better. Your church will always be falling apart. Your life is going down the drain and there's nothing you can do. He's got a voice. See, listen, not only will Goliath show up, but he'll speak up too. And for 40 days, for 40 long days, Israel sit cowardly by and listen to the taunting of this giant. Do you have anything in your life tonight that you feel like you just can't overcome? I mean, you overcame that, and you overcame that there, and that over there was no problem. But that's a giant. With Jesus, it is. That's a giant. And for 40 days, it showed up. For 40 days, he had to look at it. Here's the fourth thing, and I'm going to tell you how to defeat the giant, then we're going to go home. But listen, here's the fourth thing. You must not depend on faithless people to encourage you. You listen, You must not depend on people that don't have no faith to encourage you in the battle. Before David could get to the battlefield to fight Goliath, his brother told him he couldn't do it, and his king told him he couldn't do it. Read the story. There will always be folks nearby who will tell you that you can't win against this. There will always be people that will tell you that I knew somebody back yonder that got the same problem that you got right now, and it killed them. You can't listen to me. Even church folks. Bible Claw, even church folks, listen to me. We got to learn what David learned in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We got to learn how to encourage our own selves in the Lord. Because there are times, listen, there are times when the church is full of faithless people. Amen. They'll show you just how it can't be done. They can give you 9 reasons why it can't be done. Amen. You can't depend on people to build you up in the faith. That's why, listen to me, that's why every single one of us need to have a healthy prayer life and a good relationship with the Word of God.
Amen.
David, in fact, look with me in verse 28. David has gone on an errand from his dad to take some cheese and some victuals and supplies to his brothers and the army. And he gets down there and he hears this taunting. He hears this uncircumcised heathen defying the army of the living God. And David just began to ask questions. He said, now, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. He said, why hadn't some of y'all dealt with this big mouth? I mean, somebody need to go up there and put him to sleep. And Eliab, David's brother, heard him speaking. In verse 28, listen, Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why came thou down here? And with whom hast thou left them few little sheep with? In the wilderness. I know how prideful you are and the naughtiness of your heart, for thou hast come down that thou may see the battle. And David said, now watch this. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And now watch this, because this is important. And he turned from him toward another. Now watch what David didn't do. David didn't depend on Eliab to build him up. And he refused to get sucked into a battle that wasn't worth fighting in the first place. See, sometimes, listen to me. Here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we can't fight the battles that we ought to be fighting because we're fighting with folks that we ought not be fighting with.
Amen.
David could have had a battle right there with his brother. But David said, listen, what have I done now?
Yeah.
All I did was ask the question, and I'm not letting you suck me in to fighting somebody who's on my team. One of the reasons why the church can't fight the devil is that we spend too much time fighting one another. And he just simply turned and got focused on the real enemy. Well, that ain't all, because look, they take him to Saul. Look in verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, who is the king, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I want you to listen at the kind of cheerleaders that David had. Listen. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, For you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And I'm just going to tell you, now listen to me, I mean this with all grace and respect that I know how. But when you know God has called you to something, you can't wait around on the church to give you their blessing and their support, because you may not get it. Everybody on David, around David, was telling how he couldn't do it. And I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He'll send folks. He'll raise up people who have no faith, who have no word, to show you just how what you're trying to do can't be done. Listen. So what do you do with the enemy? Real quick, just real quick. I want to give you five things. I'm not going to comment on them. Write them down, take them home, and pray over them. Listen, how do you face your giant? Because we all got them, don't we? You know what? Listen, let's just be honest. Some giants we got, we don't mind talking about. And some giants we got, we don't want nobody else to know we got them. Amen. So how do you deal with that thing? How do you face that giant? Number one, here's the first one. You make a decision that you're going to fight and not run. Amen. It's just that simple. I'm telling you, listen, the giant ain't going to go away.
No, that's right.
He's not going to feel sorry for you and just walk out of your life. You got to make a decision that you're going to fight and not run. Look with me in verse 31. Listen what David said. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David said, "I go. I let the air out of this wind bag. I deal with this problem." And folks, now listen to me. Listen. Whatever giant you're facing, whatever it is, and you know what it is, you got to make a decision. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to compromise with it. I'm going to fight this thing by the grace of God, either till I kill it or it kills me. But I'm going to fight. I'm going to roll up my sleeve. I'm going to grit my teeth. And I'm going to fight this giant that has come to dominate, control, and to destroy my life. That's the first decision that you got to make. But here's the second thing that you got to do. You got to make a decision to rely totally upon the mighty power of God. The Bible said, listen to me, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that we gain the victory. You got to make a decision. Listen to me. You got to make a decision that you are totally dependent upon the power of God. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. We're just about finished. Look at Romans chapter 8 and find verse 36. Listen what the Apostle Paul says. He said, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Nay, No. "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying that the giant that he was facing, and the giant that the early church was facing, and the giant that you and I are facing today, we can have victory through him that loved us. Let me just throw this in here. while we're right there. You got to believe that by the grace of God, you can whip this thing. Listen, I don't care what it is. I don't care how long it's been in your life. I don't care how deep rooted it is. You got to believe when you go to battle with this thing that you have the grace of God to defeat this thing. See, a lot of times the reason why we don't fight is because we bought into the lie that we can't win no way. When David hit that battlefield, there was no doubt in his mind that God was going to give him the victory. In fact, if you read the end of the story, he talks to Goliath. He tells him, listen, he said, you come out here with a sword and a spear and a shield, and I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and I'm telling you, buddy, this day, listen, this very day, not next week, not next month, not later on, but this very day, God is going to deliver you in my hand, and I'm going to take your life. In fact, I'm going to use your sword to cut your head off. You got to believe that you can win. You got to believe that you can win. You got to believe that no matter how bad things are right now, by the time God get through with it, it's going to be all right. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you're right there, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 57 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to make this one our life verses. This is a life verse for Solid Rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Good verse, good word. Listen what it says. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you another good verse if I can find it. 14. Oh, that's a good verse if you're facing a giant tonight. It's a good verse if you're dealing with a thing that's bigger than you are. Listen. Now thanks be unto God. Now watch this. Watch this. Which always, underline that. Not sometime, but always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Paul said God always causes us to triumph. And what I come tonight to tell you, the giant that you're facing, God will, God can, God wants to give you victory over that thing. Let me tell you something. It's not too big for God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's not too nasty for God. It hadn't been going on too long for God. It's not out of God's reach. It's not out of God's control. I'm telling you tonight, listen, whatever it is, you may not feel comfortable telling the pastor, or the pastor may not feel comfortable telling you what it is, but whatever it is, it's not too big, it's not too bad, it's not too nasty for God to put his hands on it and snatch that nasty thing out of your life. Go back to 1 Samuel. Go back to 1 Samuel. We're just about finished. If you're going to face your giants, number one, you got to make a decision. You're going to fight. Listen, here's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to just surrender. The devil wants you just to give up. Amen. And it breaks my heart because I see so many believers doing that. I see so many believers just just giving up. But we haven't been called to give up. We've not been called to compromise. We've been called to be courageous and victorious. Number one, you got to make a decision. You're going to fight. Number two, you got to rely totally upon the power of God. David went to that battlefield not trusting in David, but trusting in the unseen hand of God. Now, here's the third thing. Really important for every one of us as believers. This is really, really important. Don't miss this. You need to reflect on past victories. Don't forget, listen to me. See, this ain't the first time you faced a giant. Don't forget what God already brought you through. You remember back under 10 years ago when you got that bad report? The giant showed up in your life, and listen, and the enemy said, this is the end of you. You will never make it through this. This right here is going to be a crushing blow to you. But God, by his grace, listen, not only brought you through it, but he brought you through it and had you better off than you were when you started going through it. Remember, listen to me. Remember what God's already brought you through. And every one of us here tonight, if we look back over our lives, we've been through some things. Amen, Brother Dale. God's brought us through some hardships, some trials, and some tribulations. This ain't the first time our bills have been overdue. This ain't the first time I've been sick. This is not the first time I had marital trouble. Amen. This ain't the first time I fell into sin. Come on, talk back to me if you can. But the same grace and the same God who rescued me over here is the same one who's sitting on the throne right now. Sometimes we forget just how good God's been to us. Look with me, and I promise you, I'm just about finished, but I can't take this home with me. I got to give it to you. Look with me in verse 33. David is having a conversation with Saul, and Saul tells him, you're not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, listen, David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he have defied the armies of the living God. You know what David is doing? David is looking back over the past. David said, this ain't the first time I've been in a fight. This ain't the first battle I've been in. He said, one day I was out there minding my own business, watching my father's sheep, an old lion and a bear, on the same day, maybe in teamship, come and got one of the sheep. David said, I went after him. And when they rose up against me, I reached and got him by the beard, and I slew both the lion and the bear. And let me tell you something, Saul. This uncircumcised Philistine, this giant, he's going to be like one of them, seeing that he defied the armies of the living God. I'm telling you today, listen to me. You can't forget what God already brought you through. This ain't been the first time the chips down. This is not the first time the odds been stacked against me. Amen. This ain't the first storm I've been through. I remember what you did for me back yonder. David wrote in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, he said, listen, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, when our enemies was encamped and engulfed all around us, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, we wouldn't have made it. And I can stand here tonight and tell you that I can look back over my life in these 53 years and there have been some times when I know that it was nobody but the Lord who brought me through what I was dealing with. I know it was. Here's the fourth thing, real quick. when you face your giant, you got to use what you know will work. The Bible says, we won't read it. I trust you to read it when you get home. But the Bible said, while David is meeting with Saul, and he finally convinces Saul that I'm going to go out here and take care of this guy. I don't care what you say. I don't care what my brother said. I'm going to take care of this guy. Saul tried to, listen, he tried to arm David with his armor. And David tried it on. And then he pulled it off. David said, I can't go with this. For I have not proven this. And David went down to the brook and got him 5 smooth stones. Probably swung by the house and went out in the garage and got his old slingshot hanging on the wall. Got his old shepherd's staff and headed to the Valley of Elah. And David went down there depending on what he knew would work. Now let me tell you something. Every Christian needs to know what works. You need to know prayer works. You need to know worship works. You need to know standing on the word of God works. When that giant show up in your life, if you got those 3 things, if you got the word, if you got prayer, and if you got praise, you can whip the giant. You know why some of us don't know it worked? Because we ain't tried it. We ain't tried it. Here's my final thing. I promise I'm through. In fact, I'm going to close my Bible. But listen. When you face your giant, and this is very, 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 very important. Now, everybody wake up and catch this one, because this is important. You need to be motivated by the right purpose. If you're going to face your giant, listen to me. You need to be motivated by the right purpose. The right purpose is not so that you can go back home and get on the couch. The right purpose is not so that you can have an easier, more comfortable life. The right purpose is for the glory of God. Amen. Now, I want you to look with me, and we'll finish with this right here. But I want you to look with me in verse 45. Let's start right there. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord deliver you in my hand. I will smite thee and take off your head, and I will give your carcasses to the host. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth. Now here's the purpose. Let underline this, please. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all of this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Amen. And he will give you into our hands. Listen, let me tell you why you need to face the giant and defeat the giant. So that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Solid Rock. That all of the assemblies around about us may know that God don't save because you got a lot of money. God don't save because you're talented. God don't save because you're a good person. God save because he's a good God. It's not by sword. It's not by spear. It's not by human effort. But it's by the power of God. It's for his glory. It's for his glory. You stand with me tonight. That's all I got.